Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform with one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite.
Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
Hey, TCO fam. Just a quick note before we get to the episode. This episode was recorded before the recent news broke about the updates in Adnan's case. To find out more about that, check the episode show notes. We've linked to a couple of articles and other places where you can find the most up-to-date information. Okay, now to the show. Before we get to the show, hi.
Hi.
Welcome. Well, happy Sunday.
Oh, right. It's Sunday. I keep forgetting what day it is.
You guys, we want to just let you know, over on our Patreon feed, we have a brand new interview with Queen Rabia.
Right. You guys, that's our second interview with Queen Rabia.
We talk all about how this documentary series came to be. You know, it's based on her book. They optioned her book to make this.
Right.
She gives us her hot take on Jen Pusateri, on Debbie, on
Dawn.
On Dawn and Debbie?
I know.
I can't even. You guys, we also have a full interview with Asia McLean Chapman, where, like, you're gonna see a bit of her in this episode too. But if you want Asia's full story, that's over on our Patreon feed, plus our entire episode by episode coverage of Serial season one,
which is this whole case, in case you're just joining us here at True Crime Obsessed.
Anyway, we're not just trying to sell the Patreon, we're just letting you know where you can get more information if you want it.
And if you want to hear from Rabia and Asia, who doesn't?
Girl, now let's get to our real introduction.
Okay.
Girl.
I know.
You guys, happy Sunday.
Hello. It's not Tuesday morning. How's your Sunday night going?
It's God's day, and here we are.
It's Rabia's day.
Yes, it's Queen Rabia's
and
day.
And she, look, God is looking down, and she's like, Rabia, girl, I see you.
I know.
Loving you.
You know Rabia texts with God. She definitely does.
Okay, if Rabia texts with God and also texts with us.
I know.
What does that mean for us?
Okay, quickly, you guys, before we get to the episode, we just want to tell you a couple of things. Come see us live at PodX the last weekend in May. Go to podx.com. That's in Nashville. And all of these amazing podcasts are going to be there. It's us. It's Crime Junkie. It's Rabia with Undisclosed. Bear Brook. Crime Writers On. The Hamilcast. Ono Ross and Carrie. Just so many amazing. Nancy from WNYC.
Not Nancy Grace.
No. God, no.
She might be there, but who cares?
But the following weekend, come see us at CrimeCon, where Nancy Grace definitely will be there, which is in New Orleans, the first weekend of June. Other than that, you guys, we added a couple tiers on Patreon.
Yeah.
The $5 tier is staying exactly the same.
Nothing changes there.
Nothing changes. It's all of the weekly episodes. It's all of the early access to tickets. Yeah. It's all of the bonus episodes.
Same old, same old.
Everything, everything. For $10, you guys get ad-free versions of these episodes.
Plus everything in the $5 tier.
Exactly. And at the $20 tier, you get like exclusive VIP stuff that we're going to get into down the road for future events. But also, you get a monthly bonus surprise from us.
I know. Something fun. We have ideas.
We're
totally on it.
I've worked it out. I already know at least the first 3 months what we're doing.
Yeah.
And lastly, come see us live in June for our Pride show.
Yes. And thank you so much for like wanting to hang out more and get more content from us. We're so grateful.
Thank you.
We love you.
I know. All right. Let's get to it.
Girl, I'm freaking out. I'm screaming. We're talking about the case against Adnan Syed on
yes,
HBO, by the way.
Exactly.
We haven't even said that yet.
I know.
I'm freaking out. Okay.
We got these screeners of these episodes 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, the first three episodes.
And the whole plan was to make it so that we could drop our episode right after it aired on HBO, which here we are. This
I know.
Is what's happening.
Sunday night.
I know.
Oh my God. Get cozy. Get in your PJs. Get some tea or whatever. Here we go.
Here we go.
When you are working on a case that you think is a wrongful conviction, you're only on one side, and that side is getting to the truth.
The day she went missing was just a normal day to me.
It never hit me that something could be wrong until they found her body.
The suspect is Adnan Musad Syed.
그 아이를 죄를 주는 것밖에는 바라는 게 없습니다.
It felt like they gotta have the wrong guy. If he did what he did, then who's the person that I saw every day in class?
For years, I've been saying to Adnan, we should go to media, we should go to journalists, because they can do things we can't do.
But nobody realized it's going to turn into anything big.
Adnan Syed's story has captivated millions since the launch of the podcast Serial.
Serial is what brought new evidence to the case.
But Serial was not going to exonerate him.
Now, 18 years after he was sent to prison, convicted murderer Adnan Syed heads back to court as questions about his case continue to surface.
As investigators, we go beyond what law enforcement has already done.
Failure to investigate more thoroughly is a major mistake.
I never thought about him over all these years.
This was a person that had a life. This is an interesting case, but it's people's lives.
I know there are things that don't look good for me.
I'm telling you, that's what happened.
How could anybody think that he's being straight about this?
That doesn't make him a killer.
Makes him an unusual person.
This is perhaps the critical piece to this case.
They were going to follow that wherever it took them.
This is a piece of evidence that nobody even realized existed.
I want you to look into my eyes and tell me of your innocence.
All right, here's how it opens. And I love this so much.
Me too.
So the episode opens with animation of Haman Lee.
It's amazing piece of animation.
It really is amazing. The music under it is amazing. Mm-hmm. The animation looks exactly like her. Mm-hmm. And she's like reading from her diary.
This book is open to those whose heart is innocent. If you feel any guilt reading this, you should stop. This book is full of my expression. Dedicated to those who I love and love me back. Do love and remember me forever, since I'll always love you all.
We get so much Haman Lee in this episode. I loved it so much.
I got this a lot in Serial, but this series really drives it home. To me, there's so much about Haman Lee that's like she's a high school girl.
Yes.
In so much, in so many ways. But she's also strikes me as this like wise, beyond her years
totally.
Person. Where like we read this like almost like warning slash welcome to her diary.
I think too, it's a metaphor for this whole situation.
This may make you angry. Happy, mad, or cry. So do enter at your own risk.
And so the opening credits are basically like a previously on.
Right.
It really, because in case you are joining this whole case for the first time,
yeah.
It's such a great device to bring everybody up to speed.
Right. What we learn in the opening credits is that, like, Haman Lee went missing on January 13th, 1999. Mm-hmm. Her body was found, like, 6 weeks later. And her boyfriend, Adnan Syed, has been arrested for the murder. Mm-hmm. So it opens in earnest at this daycare in Woodlawn, Maryland. And at first I was like, where are we?
I know, me too. I was like, what? Those screams. I'm here. That's screaming. Not a mother, you guys, but... Ooh. But then we learn, you know who is a mother? Adnan's mother.
Yeah.
And she is still running a daycare.
I know.
She's so warm and loving. The care and light is just exuding from her.
Yeah, and I want you to get ready. Because okay. I have crushes on everybody in this documentary.
Okay.
We see her son,
not
Yusuf.
Not Jay, right?
Not Jay. Oh,
okay,
good. No.
Everyone else,
no.
That's okay. Everyone, as long as it's not Jay. No, Jay. Or Don, right?
No.
Oh, good. Good.
You guys, we're getting to Don.
Okay. Okay, but you're good. Yeah. You're safe, girl.
Totally.
I got you.
So her son, Yusuf, I'm officially in love with Yusuf. I think he's so cute. And Saad, Rabia's brother, comes back later. I love him so much.
But Yusuf is Adnan's younger brother.
Yes, by like 8 years.
Yeah. And the thing about Adnan's mom, Shamim, is that she can't even, like, the filmmakers ask her.
Did you have this center when Adnan was still?
Oh, yeah. He used to help me too.
This is could be seen on paper as like a benign question.
Yeah.
You know, she can't even answer that without choking up and getting so emotional.
I'm sorry.
And then, you guys, are you ready?
No,
are you ready?
Are you ready?
I know. I can't stop crying. I'm not joking. Okay. What happens is, I'm going to sob.
Me too.
I know. The look on your face, I've never seen this before.
I know. I'm telling you.
So Yusuf says,
when Anna went to prison, it was like a big piece of all of us had died. We thought he was gone forever. But then Rabia, while she was in law school, while she was raising two daughters, she was always there for us and she was still fighting for Adnan. Adnan would have been forgotten by everyone if it wasn't for Rabia.
Rabia?
Look, I turned into Buddy the Elf. I was like, I know her! Rabia, I know her! She's like Santa! I was like, ah!
Remember in Serial when Sarah Koenig said, like, Rabia is sweet and nice, but do not fuck with her?
Yeah.
So that is the most perfect embodiment, because you see this woman on screen. She's so beautiful, but she's so confident, and she's so strong, and she's pregnant.
Pregnant with a third child.
I know. And the filmmakers, Amy Berg, I love you, but girl, they make this pregnant woman walk up the stairs to like the nursery and tell us what this is, and she's like out of breath because she's pregnant.
Right. Well, pregnant people have to walk up the stairs.
I know.
Not a mother. I'm just saying, don't come for Amy Berg. Amy Berg is a hero. She went to Memphis and Jesus Camp. I'm obsessed with Amy Berg. So don't do it.
It doesn't look like a baby's room yet. Nothing's in here. Has he painted? But this will be the nursery. We've got a couple weeks to get it set up. When Adnan was incarcerated, my older daughter was 99. How old was she? She was only two. This will be my third baby, and I hope that this baby will get to know Adnan, uncle, in a normal environment.
So we find out that after Adnan's like last appeal in 2013,
yeah,
Robbie is like, we need to go about this in another way. Cue the Serial music.
For years, I've been saying to Adnan, we should go to media. We should go to journalists because they can do things we can't do. I went to my laptop and I started looking for a reporter who had covered the case in 1999 for the Baltimore Sun. And the first name I came across was Sarah Koenig.
Then we get the Serial VO. You
right.
guys want to hear it? Have you missed it?
Yeah.
Have you missed it? I went to go see Rabia. She was surrounded by papers, boxes, and like crappy documents. I know. We'll get back to that.
You guys, if you didn't hear our Patreon coverage of Serial, you are missing out on Jillian's Sarah Koenig impression.
It always ends with, I know. We'll get back to that. I know. I thought that too, right?
I know.
We'll get back to that.
Right?
Rabia, who like carries the case files in her car.
I know.
Because she never knows when she can save a life or like do something amazing. She's like, no, pregnant with my third child.
Right.
Of course I have the most pertinent case documents in the trunk of my car. Bitch, what are you doing with your life? I'm Rabia. Get it together. She's Santa Claus. I know her. I was sexy with her. I can't. I'm sweating. I can't.
I didn't even know what a podcast was. Nobody realized. Even Sarah Koenig herself, I didn't think, went into this thinking, I'm going to do like 10, 12 episodes on this, or it's going to turn into anything big.
And let me tell you, you guys, we've been saying this since the beginning of this podcast, which has evolved
right.
in many ways, but let the badass women do the work, you guys.
I know.
These women, I can't
know.
Stand it.
Wait till we get to Susan Simpson. Look, I can't. I know.
I'm freaking out. You guys, I don't think I've ever been so like my whole body is responding and reacting.
I know.
This is a thing. So then, like, you guys, P.S., Serial blows up.
Yeah, so we see all this, like, this coverage of Serial, and the one note I made, it says, we see Nancy Grace making a horrible raccoon face. We see her for
just
1 second.
Just a normal Tuesday for Nancy Grace making some stupid face and, like, some horrible assumption.
Nancy Grace just has resting raccoon face.
I will thank you to leave the raccoons out of this. Okay? They're very smart, and they're adorable when they want to be. Nancy Grace is neither.
State of Maryland versus Adnan Syed.
So you guys, it's December 10th, 1999, and we see video of Adnan's trial.
Video.
It's just like, this is the thing, one of the things that's so mind-blowing about this.
Totally.
We see Christina fucking Gutierrez.
I know.
We see Adnan being brought in.
Did we not? We did.
And the thing that I cannot make my brain wrap, it's my head around my
yes.
brain thing,
uh-huh.
is the fact that there's nobody in the court. Nobody's there to watch this.
Yeah. Nobody cared in 1999.
It's so crazy. Like, I get that it wasn't a big deal until, but I can't, my brain can't believe it.
No, I know. Because of where we are now.
Right.
Like,
right.
to go back to 1999, it's like, what was everybody busy? It's December 10th, 1999. What the hell are you doing?
And it's really sad. They call, the state calls Hayes' brother to the stand.
Yeah.
Young Lee.
Yeah.
And he's so sweet and, like, soft spoken. He just seems like such a nice person.
Yeah.
And he has to describe, like, the series of events where we, eventually find out that Hay is gone.
We knew something was wrong when we got a call from my cousin's teacher asking us to pick her up from school. This was strange because it was my sister's job.
Do you know about what time you received the phone call that Hay had not picked up your cousins?
around 3:30.
What if anything happened next?
I called my sister's workplace, her best friend, Aisha, and I called the school.
I love so much about the series, but one of the things I really love is that how much we focus on Hay and her family,
yes,
and what they've gone through.
Yep.
Because in cases of wrongful conviction, it's very easy to focus on the wrongfully convicted,
yeah,
and not the victim. So I love that they shed so much light on her.
Yeah. So then we see Aisha Pippen.
Present day. Like, I real life. Like, today.
I know. She...
Aisha Pippen. These people feel like celebrities. They're just real people who are going through a horrible, horrible thing. I feel like a monster by being like,
I know.
Aisha. Oh my God, it's Aisha Pippen. Oh, she's right there. She's right there, Pezzi Day. Aisha Pippen. Oh my God.
I totally feel the same way.
This poor woman has been talking about this horrible thing. Her friend.
I know.
It's horrible. I'm a monster.
I know. No, no, no. I'm the same way. Like, if I saw her, I'd ask her for her autograph.
Her brother called to tell me, and the immediate thing I did after that was page her and then continue paging her, just worrying but not knowing what to do.
We're now getting from all of Hay's friends, like, Hay's not returning pages.
Right.
Hay's not returning phone calls.
And we meet, like, her little crew. So it was, like, Hay and
Krista.
Aisha, Krista Myers, and Debbie Warren. And there are, like, no less than 52 pictures of the four of them.
Right.
They were a little crew. And it, like, makes my heart swell and break at the same time. They were,
yeah,
just the best of friends. Heyman Lee has been missing for not a long time.
Right.
And her family goes straight to her diary.
I'm telling you, the first time Daisy doesn't text me back, straight to the diary.
Yeah, she's in the bathroom for a little bit too long, and you're like, where is she?
All the doors are coming off.
Yeah, that's it. So they go to her diary, and they find Adnan's phone number.
Well, they find a phone number.
They find a phone number.
Then I call that number.
Who did you believe you were calling?
I believe I was calling Don, my sister's new boyfriend.
What happened when you called the number?
I asked, may I speak to Don? But after speaking to the person, the receiver, I knew it was Adnan.
And that's when Adnan finds out that she's missing. And Adnan's like, oh, okay, well, she's going to be in big trouble.
And they also find the word Don written 127 times. Again, she's wise beyond her years,
yes,
Heavenly, and also still a high school girl.
Two things about this. Both of these things is pointed out in Serial.
Mm-hmm.
That the phone number and Don being written out, that Sarah talked about that in Serial, and to see it in real,
it's
to
crazy.
Actually see it.
It's crazy.
Is crazy. Like, are we crazy?
We're
are
crazy.
We just like crazy Serial
we're
people?
Our shoulders are to our ears, girl. Right now, yes, we're crazy.
Do most people not care?
If there's video of us, we are not well. And so, like, the cop calls Adnan.
Okay, so I think his name is Officer Adcock.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing about this phone call is this is where it's established, air quotes established, that Adnan did ask Hay for a ride that day.
Right.
And that's important because that will be used as evidence that Adnan was trying to get into her car.
Right.
To kill her.
I spoke to Mr. Syed. And he advised me that he was supposed to get a ride home from the victim, but he got detained at school and felt that she just got tired of waiting and left.
I've never talked to a police officer before. And when he called me, I was literally high on marijuana, and there's a cop calling me. So when he asked me about Hay, I just remember kind of like, hey, did I ask Hay for a ride that day?
And so now we meet Robbie's brother, Saad.
Ah, Saad! He's back.
He was Adnan's best friend. And so Rabia will say, like, later in the series, like, Adnan was like my brother.
Right.
Like, she was so close to him. And also a genius lawyer who just, like, is going to change the world and is changing at this minute.
Right.
So she's like, how can I sit idly by when my brother's best friend
exactly.
is going through this?
And also, like, I kind of love Saad and Adnan because they are just dumb boys in high school.
Right.
And the shenanigans we learn about is kind of hilarious.
Oh, don't they ensue? My goodness. So Hope.
Oh, guys, Hope Schaub, the French teacher.
I have some issues with her.
Yeah, Hope. I have some issues with her, too. You go first.
Well, she sits down and it's like, woo, 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 like these sirens. And someone, I'm like, is it Amy, Rabia? Who's that voice? Oh, my God, she's an angel. Who is that? But someone from behind the camera is like, it's really loud. And she's like, it's better than the gunshots.
It's better than when we lived in Baltimore. It'd be 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Pop, 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 pop.
Pop, 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 she says.
I was like, Hope. Oh, my God. Yeah, and she's like, well, there are 300 murders a year. I've been teaching for this long. Like, 5 students a year die. You do the math. Right. Hey, what else do you want to know? I have issues with Hope.
Me too. No, I do too. The thing to know about Hope that's important is that Hope was a very young teacher at the time of the murder.
Yeah.
So she was about the same age as the students, maybe a little bit older.
Yeah, and so Hay was like Hope's intern.
Hay was my intern. She would come in at 7:15 every morning and stay for an hour and a half. She would bring her coffee in and do work on the computer for me or help me grade my papers. She was like a daughter to me.
Hope, to me, skews a little more towards the, I'm not a real teacher, I'm a cool teacher.
Yeah.
A little bit, right?
And yes, I agree. And we'll get to this in a minute. Like, I think that Hope has grown and changed since the time that this all happened.
Yes.
But I think at the time, Hope did not realize the power that she had as the teacher of a student who had been murdered. And the influence that she would carry when she was to tell people what her perception of things was.
I agree.
It carried a lot more weight than I think she thought it did at the time.
A zillion percent.
So we'll get there.
And then we get like, hey, Min Lee on the news.
Yeah.
Talking about her responsibilities.
How about any school activities while you're here?
I played field hockey for 2 years. I've played lacrosse for 2 years. And I also managed boys wrestling.
That's a lot to do. Do you have time to have a job while you're doing this?
Yeah, I try to manage my schoolwork and my after school work.
Like when you hear the voiceover of her diary where she's like, oh my God, this field hockey game.
Right.
Oh my God, I have to write it down. Like this awareness of how busy she was. But she loved her friends.
Totally.
And she loved being busy. And
she was really engrossed in her life.
Totally. And people say that like when she was in something, she was in it. Whether it's a relationship or the team or whatever. Like that's why you write down 127 times. When you're in, you know, and all teenagers are like this.
I was going to say, Hay and I had a lot in common.
Hay and I still have all that in common. When you're in, right?
Yeah.
But then magnify that in high school.
Right.
And then it's like you couldn't be more in.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform with one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite.
Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
The other thing that we're learning about the kids in the magnet program, like you were saying, they were from all different neighborhoods. There were like major cultural differences.
Right.
Krista shows us her phone book from that time.
Oh.
And it has like all of her friends' phone numbers in it. And it says Adnan and it says his number. And then under it in all caps, it says never call.
Never call.
Because girls were not allowed to call his house.
Not even like, hey, so what were the pages we were supposed to read for English? Like, not even that.
Right.
You would have to secretly page him. Like, just call somebody else. It's exhausting. I got to get my work done. And then we learn about, speaking of that, the community, and that in a lot of these communities, like religion was a big part of that culture, regardless of what your religion was. So we learn from Adnan's brothers.
Yes.
That there was something called the anti-network.
So we've heard this. We heard this in Serial. Mm-hmm. We've heard this. I read this in Rabia's book, too. Mm-hmm. It's the idea that, like, boys weren't supposed to date girls. Girls weren't supposed to date boys.
Right.
Everybody is an auntie.
It's just people who had eyes on the kids to make sure they weren't having any fun.
Right. My sweet, beautiful baby Saad is talking about how, like, on Friday nights, they would...
Robbie, at earmuffs.
They would have, like, the aunties would be chasing them all, like, around the mall, making sure nobody was holding hands.
Say, like, red alert, they're going to the movies. They're going to see a PG film. Whatever shall we do?
Okay, you guys, here we are.
The prom.
Adnan and Saad decided they were going to go to the prom. Spoiler, and disappointingly, not together as a couple.
I know.
That bums me out a little bit.
Earmuffs are up, yeah.
But they decide they're going to go, and Adnan's really nervous. Of course, his parents can't know about it.
No.
He wants to go with a girl, and this is where Debbie comes in. Adnan was whispering in one ear that he liked Hay, and Hay was whispering in the other ear that she liked Adnan.
There was a lot of note writing. I remember that. And then my saying, okay, enough with the note writing. Just talk to each other. So high school. But it was sweet. It was, you know, it was young love. It was It was cute.
You guys, I love Debbie. If Debbie's listening, Debbie does something really weird.
Questions for Debbie. Debbie, what line are we on? We're taking callers. Debbie, line 3.
We're going to get there.
Debbie, look, about that spring break.
I know.
Let's talk. So the prom start, it was a little bit of drama, right?
Of course.
Like, Adnan shows up to pick up Hay, and we learn this from her diary, like, not dressed, like, dressed for basketball and but not the prom.
He can't be dressed.
Of course.
Like, his mother can't find out.
Right, but you're a gorgeous 18-year-old girl.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The boy of your dreams is coming to pick you up for prom in, like, Nike swishy shorts and, like, a yellow basketball jersey. And you're, like, wearing your gorgeous dress that's iridescent and, like, changes color in the light and your corsage. And you're like, I'm sorry, what?
I know. And she looked like a million bucks. Hey, was so pretty.
Gorgeous. And then, like, Adnan, effortlessly smart and cool and popular, is the prom prince.
Okay, we have to talk about this for a second. Yeah. Because this is the first time in this documentary that we hear about Stephanie.
He was the prom prince, and Stephanie McPherson was princess.
When they announced Stephanie, it was kind of weird in a way. But at the end of eighth grade, me and Stephanie, we were kind of like dating a little bit, but not really. We called each other boyfriend and girlfriend.
In Serial, Sarah describes Stephanie as, like, so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Stephanie is breathtakingly beautiful.
Totally.
She looks like an absolute model.
Right. Again, she also looks 32.
Yeah.
And not 18.
She totally looks 32
She's
years
like
old.
She's, like, 6'2".
Yeah. She looks
not like, a hair out of place.
No, she looks like she runs a law firm. Like,
she's working with Kathleen Zeller totally. This minute and Rabia this minute. So Stephanie was prom princess, and there's an issue here.
Yeah.
Because he's with Hay, and he likes Hay.
Right.
But what's the protocol? They're prom prince and princess, and they used to kind of date, but he's still friends with Stephanie, but, like, the love of his life and that gorgeous dress is, like, across the gym floor. What does he do?
And it's compounded by the fact that the worst song from the 90s comes on.
Which happens to be Hay's favorite, or one of her favorite
Casey
songs.
And JoJo, All My Life. You guys, oh, no, please. I hate this song
so
much.
It's going to be in my head for 6 days now. But Adnan takes it and makes it, like, a nice thing for Hay.
Right.
Traditionally, they were supposed to dance together. To my song, Casey and JoJo's All My Life. I tried to act natural and not jealous, but it did kind of bother me. But I took the pic of them dancing and sat next to Deb, who went on about how neat it is for Anand to be the prince. 10 seconds later, guess who dances with me and not with Stephanie? Anand! Now how can I not fall in love with this guy?
I was just thinking, too, about, like, how different this whole thing would be if we didn't have the diary. You know?
Oh.
She is so brought to life in that way in this series. It's
absolutely
so amazing. So now we're back at Adnan's house, modern day. Queen Rabia shows up!
I just have in my notes, oh my God, Rabia. That's all I had, just in caps, oh my God, Rabia.
So what's happening here is Rabia's there to pick up the family to go to this, like, community gathering.
Tonight is the first time, really, since 1999, that the entire community is going to get together. You know, the first year, there were a lot of meetings at the mosque. Then he got convicted. And, you know, that was kind of the end of it.
For the first time in years, they're coming together to, like, get new information on the case.
It's like a town meeting.
Yeah.
So Rabia and Yousef make a point to say at this meeting, like, we cannot forget about Heyman Lee.
Yeah.
We are here for justice.
Right.
And Rabia says this beautiful, gorgeous thing that reminded me so much of the Damien West Memphis 3 case, where she's like,
my prayers are always not just that Adnan's exonerated, but that God brings the truth to light. Because that is justice for Hay.
I had to pause it and, like, catch my breath.
Do you think that her feet ever touch the floor?
Or
do you think she just floats, like, a solid inch and a half off the floor? Yeah.
And there's always, like, harps, like a low hum of
100%.
Like,
yeah.
And the light finds her. She does not find her light. Yeah.
So, you guys, we're back to 99. And again, if you remember this from Serial, one of the reasons that friends were not connecting the dots that Hay was missing was because she went missing on a Friday, and then there was a huge ice storm, and they didn't go back to school for days and days and days.
Right. And, like, power was out. People didn't have heat. People didn't have fresh food. So, like, to not hear from your friends, like, the power was out. Of course you weren't hearing from people.
Yeah.
Which is one of the most tragic things about this. You guys, we have a news reporter.
I know. Oh, lay it on us.
You guys, the weather was bad. This news reporter, I know this came out before the comeback, Valerie Cherish.
This news reporter, it's as though she's impersonating you.
She's chewing every piece of that scenery. Yeah. What a mess. The freezing rain left behind. Accidents all over the place. You're dodging falling branches on side streets just about everywhere you go. Sweetheart, people are skidding off the streets. It's Valerie. It's like a really bad Valerie Cherish impression. Just about everywhere you go. Like, what is happening?
What a mess the freezing rain left behind. Accidents all over the place. Drive through Western Baltimore County and it was more of the same. You dodge falling branches on side streets just about everywhere you go.
What a mess! I don't need to say that! It's her first day on the first and last day on the job, that one.
I can't even see, like, in the booth, everyone's turning their headphones down.
Right. And in my head, she's dressed as the cupcake like Valerie Cherish was. I don't need to say that! Horrible.
So here's the thing. You guys, Krista's 18th birthday party was on the 15th.
And Krista's one of like the four girl crew that Hay was in the Magnum program.
Yeah. So Hay went missing on the 13th. Krista's like, it's kind of weird that I didn't hear from her on like the lead up to my birthday.
Uh-huh.
But it was really weird when like Hay's not there, but Adnan shows up with Jay, this guy I don't even know, and Stephanie, and no Hay.
We learn a little bit about Jay,
uh-huh,
who we're not fans of.
No, we're not. Why are you whispering that? We're not fans of Jay.
Oh, good. Right. I'm sorry. Right. I can actually say Adnan didn't do it.
Right.
Get him out of there. There's no hemming and hawing here.
Right.
He's innocent. Jay's the worst.
Jay was eccentric. Some people describe him as like Dennis Rodman. He had piercings and he listened to heavy metal and rock music.
I did not hang out with Jay personally, but Stephanie asked if he could come with her.
No one really hung out with him. He was just kind of around.
Yeah.
Stephanie, who was in the Magna program, kind of brought him around.
Someone is going to have to explain this to me. Stephanie, who, like, I feel like we learned a serial comes from, like, a great family.
Uh-huh.
She's beautiful.
Obviously very smart.
She's in the Magna program. What does she see in Jay? I need to know.
I think a lot of those kids, and I was not in a Magna program.
Uh-huh.
But I think there's a lot of pressure, and I think being around Jay or being friends with him was kind of a way to blow off steam.
I want to hear from Stephanie. I'm really, really bummed she's not in this.
I
really want to hear from her. I feel like her perspective on all of this would be mind-blowing.
I agree.
Yeah. So now, when Hay doesn't show up for Krista's party, she doesn't page, she doesn't call, people are worried. And this is when, like, the search for her really begins. They have dog units.
All right, don't say it with that tone. Dogs are very helpful and amazing, and we don't deserve them.
No, that just seems, like, really extreme. That's like, oh my God, like, dog, like, you're looking for a body when you have dogs.
It's been days.
I know.
I mean,
so this is when the cops come to the school, and this is where the French teacher comes back.
Hope.
I was asked by the detectives, being that I was younger in age and close to a lot of the circle that she ran in, if I would make up some questions that I could give to the girls to kind of ask around to see if any of the magnet students knew what was going on.
She writes up like a questionnaire and circulates it. She says the main thing she was trying to find out was there a special place that Adnan and Hay would go to like be left alone?
Because neither family approved, right?
Right.
Like the cops, for whatever reason, think that Hay's best friends are lying about things they know and aren't worried sick and really wanting to know what happened to their best friend. For some reason, they're like putting all this weirdness on these girls. So for some reason, the cops are like, hey, cool teacher, write up this questionnaire and try to like trick her friends into giving you information about specifically Adnan. And P.S., you guys, she wasn't dating Adnan anymore. She was dating Don.
Right. So then Adnan totally freaked out. Hope tells the story that Adnan comes to her.
He came to me and wanted to know why I was asking questions about him. And he said, please don't do that because I don't want my parents knowing my business.
And of course, he didn't do anything.
Right.
So he's not saying it in a way where it's like, don't ask any questions. It's like, no, you don't know how strict my parents are. You're a white girl. You don't know my community.
And it's funny because we find out at some point in this that like Adnan and Hay actually did have places where they would go.
Of course.
They would go to the Best Buy parking lot and make out there. But then Adnan says they would also get hotel rooms.
And then we see a receipt, credit card receipt from the Comfort Inn. They scanned a Visa.
Right.
And I'm like, wait, you have to lie to your parents about going to the movies, but you have a paper trail and a credit card statement about the Comfort Inn?
He would tell his parents he was sleeping over at Saad's house. She would tell her parents she was sleeping over at Aisha's house.
Right.
They would be in this hotel room together for the entire night.
I mean,
they are children.
Right.
But that's why when Adnan goes to Hope, the French teacher, he's like, you got to stop asking around. Like, this is serious shit that we were doing, and I'm going to get in really big trouble. So now we find out that Hay's home life was really stressful.
She talked about her mom being very strict, so that caused a lot of tension, and then also having a lot of responsibility. She lived with her grandparents, her mother, her uncle, two younger cousins, and her brother.
being like the oldest one, you know, she helped translate for them and things like that. So she kind of felt like she had equal footing in the household. She could do what she wanted to. If I want to have a boyfriend, I should be able to have a boyfriend.
So she's like, am I an equal or am I not? Because
right.
I'm like cooking dinner or doing all this stuff.
Translating and, for you guys.
Right. And like running this ship and
right.
picking up my cousins and doing all this stuff and keeping straight A's and doing this. But yet I can't go to the movies.
Right. I can't
what?
Like date a boy that I want to date.
Am I an adult or am I not?
Right. So what happens is that she sort of swings from like being so in love with Adnan to then feeling guilty about how focused she's been on him.
Right.
And how that's like caused rifts with her family. She's had to lie. She's never lied before.
Right.
And now she's frustrated with Adnan because he has to lie to his, like, they can't have a normal relationship.
She just wants to go to the movies and hold her boyfriend's hand.
Exactly. So all of this sort of like comes to a head when they go to the dance and Adnan's parents show up. This was one of my favorite moments.
They crashed the dance.
Right.
They crash it.
The reason they did that was because my dad didn't believe that Adnan was dating. Oh, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. He's not dating. He can't get these good grades and be dating. You don't believe me? You don't believe me? Let's go take a trip to the school.
Say it to my face, Adnan. Dance with that beautiful girl in my face
right.
and prove it.
I remember in the podcast thinking like this was such a silly moment.
Yeah.
Because when Adnan tells the story,
yeah,
he's
like
laughing.
It's like a comedy. It's like a comedy of errors,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, and so Adnan thinks it's funny. Hay is really pissed.
Right, but he was embarrassed about it. But she was like, what on earth?
I just remember her freaking out about it. Like, he's here with his parents. Like, what do we, like, what, and I just know that she wanted to get out of there.
So now we sort of take a sharp left turn. We're back in court in 99. Debbie is called to the stand.
The state's next witness is Ms. Debbie Warren. Ms. Warren, will you step up to the witness stand?
And we find out, if you lived under a rock and you didn't listen to Serial, Adnan wasn't Hay's boyfriend at the time that she went missing.
Right.
Ms. Warren, did you become aware of any breakups in their relationship?
They had broken up probably two times before their final breakup, between December and January of 99.
Were you ever aware that Hay dated anyone else after the final breakup?
Yes, she did.
Who was that?
Donnie.
I'm obsessed with Don.
They call him Donnie.
I know. It's
Ooh.
So bizarre. So we get Hay's diary again.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, we've heard some of this in Serial, but she's talking about how much she loves Don and she doesn't know what's wrong with her because she's dating Adnan or she loves Adnan, but she also loves this guy, Don.
Every time I close my eyes, I see my baby. But I keep on thinking about someone else. Don Kleindienst. Why? I don't know. But I keep wanting to get closer to him. I'm going to have to get my thoughts straight. I do love Adnan. But today, I kept on imagining Don over my body instead of Adnan.
I keep imagining Don over my body. And I'm like, over your body? Oh my God! Oh my God, is it comforting? Oh no! The thing is, like, her friends say, look, she went from one sneaky relationship to another sneaky relationship.
Right.
Like, what she wanted from Adnan, which was, like, being able to have a teenage relationship where it was, like, out in the open and holding hands and smooching and
yeah.
going to dinner at each other's houses, she couldn't do that with Don either.
Right, right.
So this is another example of not only a teenager being 100% in and super infatuated and in love, Hay seemed to do that extra.
Uh-huh.
So now she's just jumping.
Yeah, so we're back at the school with Debbie, and Debbie's walking us through, like, Hay's final moments at the school.
Yeah.
She was in a rush to go somewhere.
But she would have come out of the staircase directly out of these doors, down this walkway, and right there to her car. She was intending to pick up her cousin directly after leaving and then going to see Don.
She was going to go meet Don. And is this new information? Because I had not heard that before.
It felt very new to me, but
yeah.
I know that you have listened to and read a zillion more things than I have on this. So
uh-huh.
to me, it felt new. But if it feels new to you, then that's kind of a bombshell for me.
I know. I mean, if this felt like new information, that
yeah.
like Don would potentially have been the last person to see her alive, except for the fact that Don, we thought, was working that day. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you guys were jumping around a little bit because that's what the documentary does.
Uh-huh.
We're back in the courtroom. Guess who's called to the stand?
The defense will call Alonzo Sellers to the stand.
Mr. Sellers, please step all the way up to the witness stand, please. All the way up here.
Alonzo Sellers, Mr. S. You guys, if you don't remember who he is, he's the streaker who found Hayes' body.
Whilst drinking and driving.
Yeah. If you remember.
Possibly naked.
He was like on his way back to work. He had, like, was drinking a 40 in his car.
Like the story's like, I went home to use the bathroom. I used the bathroom, picked up a couple 40s from my fridge, pounded them, had to pee again.
Like 2 minutes into my drive back to work.
Then stopped on the side of the road, walked like a zillion feet into this brush,
yeah,
and like looked over hammered,
yeah,
and like noticed this very well buried body. It makes no sense.
I'm going to say this now unequivocally.
Yes.
Because we see the photos of what he would have seen. He knew she was there.
I could not agree more.
There's absolutely no way he saw anything.
When you see those photos, you're like, where? Oh, wait, oh my God, is that her foot?
Yeah.
They're traumatizing.
Yeah.
There's no way this hammered guy drinking and driving would just like notice that. There's no way.
Wait, we have to talk about him on the stand.
This court footage, I was standing up watching this.
Because in Serial, I remember Sarah referred to him as a hostile witness. Remember, he like did not want to be there.
But here's what I can't. Okay, so maybe like seeing it is, because I didn't remember this from the podcast or our coverage from it. So
it's
maybe
some of your funniest material ever.
But so Alonzo Sellers is questioned by
Christina Gutierrez.
Did you not? She's a monster. Okay, you guys, paint a picture.
Yeah.
They're in court.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the stand. Yeah. He's being questioned about the dead body he found whilst allegedly hammered, right? We all know why he's there, uh-huh, right or wrong.
Uh-huh.
Okay. She says, let me draw your attention to February 9th, 1999. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I can't recall anything.
I don't recall that day. I don't know what she said.
Well, sir, you recall the day that you found the body in Lincoln Park, don't you?
Yes, okay, I recall that
day. That was a pretty important day for you, was it not?
Objection.
If you explain that, I wouldn't know what you're talking about.
She's like, sweetheart, I'm talking about the day you found the dead body, girl. Why do you think we're here? And he's like, if you would have explained it, I would have known. Give a guy a little bit of detail.
And I feel like you see the judge. The judge looks up for the first time in the entire proceeding.
Everyone simultaneously is like, girl, I don't know what you're talking about. I can't recall that day. Oh, the dead body day.
Right.
See, what do you think we're talking about?
Exactly.
The weather? No. The time you were hammered and fake stumbled upon a dead body.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform with one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite.
Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
So now we're back to like modern day Krista, and she's telling us the story about how when she found out that Hay was dead, she was the one who told Adnan.
Right.
I said, you know, they found his body. She's not alive anymore. And it was like a pin drop on the other side of the phone, like complete silence. I just kept saying, like, are you okay? What do you need me to do? Like, just say something. And he said, you know, is Aisha home? He said, I'm going to go to her house. Can you just call her and tell her, you know, I'm headed that way?
See, it seems to me that everyone's sort of congregating at Aisha's to, yeah, like mourn and try to find details and just be with people who are like, you can't believe this either, right?
But then the bombshell is that Adnan, who is in utter denial, calls the cops,
right,
to tell them that they have the wrong person. Remember when Sarah was like freaking out over this in Serial? She's like, there's no way a guilty person would call the police.
Yeah, she was right about that, for
right,
sure. And then in the coldest way possible, the cop was like, you have to call homicide in the morning because she's dead. Right. It's a horrible way to treat somebody.
It's horrible.
And then, like, can I get back to Hope for like 4 seconds?
So this is the thing that I have the hardest time with.
I don't like this either.
Yeah. Hope, the French teacher, she's saying, you know, again, she's about the kids' age. She was very invested in Hayes. She's very sad too. She's saying that like all the kids were emotional at school. She said that she walked up to Adnan.
I have a clear recollection of going up to Adnan and hugging him and just saying, I'm so sorry. And I wrapped my arms around him. But I got a very just stern, and I don't know if that was a cultural thing. I don't know if I should have hugged him. I don't know if it was something to read into or not, but it wasn't reciprocated back. I think I took it a little personally.
When she said that at the time, that had weight. That was an important observation on her part.
What she's not saying is that Adnan didn't maybe want to hug the woman who wrote a questionnaire
right.
about maybe he killed Hay in the secret place they maybe went to together.
Exactly.
Girl.
Exactly.
That's why. And also, it's not your role. You're a rando teacher who wants to be everybody's friend.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I totally agree. So now we're getting back to, like, the idea of Dawn. Right. And one of the friends says, like, Don, like, we were looking at everybody. We didn't know who it could have been. Don was new to us. Like, he was definitely a possibility.
Yeah. And they barely knew him. And look, 18 and 22, it's not that different, but it kind of is.
Yeah. And according to Debbie, like, that's where Hay was going, was to see him.
Right. And she was like, I didn't love it.
So we get this on-screen text that says, in February 2016, the filmmakers engaged QRI, a private investigation firm, to conduct an independent investigation.
Did you scream? Look, I said, blah, blah, blah. Oh my God, I'm freaking out.
I know.
I just had gibberish typing.
So we're in their offices in New York City, and Robbie is there.
I was like, she was in New York?
I know.
I was like retroactively jealous with the FOMO. So they were like having a private meeting about Dawn with these private investigators, and Robbie was in our city?
Robbie.
Oh, hi.
Tyler Maroney. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Thanks for coming all the way to New York.
Oh, gosh, not at all. I'm so excited.
The failure to investigate Don more thoroughly just really stands out as a major mistake.
I never thought about him over all these years, to be honest.
Why?
Because I thought he was at work.
Dun, dun, dun! For those of you who have not been reading every single thing you can find about this case...
Or didn't listen to our coverage of Serial on Patreon.
What happened was, Don was supposedly working at LensCrafters right. the day that he went missing. Mm-hmm. We find out later, and Rabia points out, that Don's timesheets, the defense didn't get those until months and months and months later. So during the time that Hay went missing, what happened was the police like called Don's manager and was told that Don was at work. They checked it off the list. They kept on going. And what we find out later is that Don's manager was his mother.
Mother.
They don't get into it in this documentary, at least in the first episode. There's so much shadiness about how Don's time card was definitely altered.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, he supposedly gets home at 7.
He says he gets home around 7 o'clock. And when he gets home, the police has called looking for her. The police don't get a hold of him till like 1:30 that night. That's like a big gap. Like, where was he? What was he doing in that whole time? Why didn't he try to contact her or call the police back?
And he doesn't have an alibi. What was he doing? Those are a lot of hours.
Yeah. To know that your girlfriend is missing and not make a phone call?
Right.
That's crazy.
Right. And so Robbie's like, look, the cops are looking for her. They go to Harford County, which is Don's neighborhood.
Yeah.
Also, cut to, love you, Amy Berg, a slow pan on a Confederate flag
I know,
blowing in the wind on a porch. And I'm like, Don's neighborhood. Got it. Mental note. See you, Amy. Thanks, girl.
Yep.
Thanks for the update. So Queen Angel Rabia is just like, look, this all looks really bad for Don. She literally says, I have to pull myself back because I know this is all circumstantial, but I don't want to do to somebody else what is happening to Adnan.
Right, exactly.
And I'm like, can you teach classes?
I know.
Like, why are you not out for everybody? I get it. I mean, it's why she's amazing. But like,
yeah.
The fact that she could say that in the middle of all this is incredible.
So you guys, spoiler alert, the private investigators track down Don, and we're going to get to that in 1 second. Mm-hmm. But first, we have to tell you a crazy Debbie story.
This is bananas.
There's also the fact that there's a witness at the school, a classmate of Hay's, who says that she saw Hay before she was leaving school and that she had told her she was going to meet with Dawn at the mall. It made Debbie suspicious enough of Dawn that she actually started she wanted to investigate herself.
So remember Debbie's the one who said that, like, Hay was really in love and I was really nervous about
right.
Dawn? Debbie thought Dawn was so sketchy that she tracked him down via email. Debbie tells us this story, and Debbie is, I would say, appropriately self-conscious about telling this story.
Somehow I got in touch with him online.
That was our initial contact. And he was eager to give me his information and to talk to me and everything. He was very open. Pretty much everything after that was telephone. You know, I just tried to find out how much he cared about her, what he knew about her disappearance. And I don't recall when it was we had that 7-hour conversation, but we did.
Weird. One night we just ended up having a 7-hour phone conversation.
7 hours.
This is the person that, Debbie, you actually think might be responsible for your friend's death. Now you're best friends with him and you're on the phone for 7 hours.
You're like asleep on the phone watching Dawson's Creek or whatever. Like, enough.
Then we find out that Debbie goes on spring break to visit her sister.
It was spring break and my sister was attending College Park. She lived on campus. I was going to go stay with her for that whole week. So I had told, you know, told Don all of this and he, you know, oh, let me come visit you while I'm there. So, okay. I guess it was that evening. That was the first time he had really expressed, like, romantic interest. And it was kind of odd. I didn't really know what to do with that. But, you know, he made it very clear that that's what he was interested in. And I guess to some extent I went along with it for some time.
Debbie does not rebuff his advances. Debbie's like, yeah, I kind of went along with that.
Right, but she makes a point to say, like, I was clear that we weren't going to have sex. She flirted back a little.
Yeah.
She was like, I made it clear. It wasn't going to get physical. But and yeah, we flirted.
This was mind-blowing information to me.
And then she's like, yeah, I don't have any details. I kind of blocked it out. And I'm like, oh,
I know.
How that all ended up playing out, I just, my mind completely blocks it off after that. I don't have much recollection.
Wait, he invited himself to your sister's college campus for spring break?
I know.
Which is, he's 22.
I know.
Hits on you. You kind of feed into it in this way that we don't know exactly. It's a very gray area.
Yep.
You made some things clear, but way too many things not clear.
And then you have no recollection of how you lost touch with Dawn.
Okay.
That's Debbie, sweetheart,
Debbie,
that's crazy.
Call us, line two, Debbie. Enough, what is happening?
So now all of a sudden we hear a voice.
Most people don't have the resources you do to track me down.
Okay. You guys, I was desperate to hear Dawn's voice in Serial.
I don't think I watched this sitting down, this whole thing.
I know.
Pacing.
We hear Dawn's voice, you guys.
It's not a day go by that I do not think about her and what happened. And I was very much in love with her. But to be honest with you, I've got a lot of other things on my mind. I've been disabled since I was 23 and haven't been able to work. I'm 38 now. I don't expect to live to see 50. My next 12 years basically is making sure that my wife can get taken care of. Not worrying about whether anybody believes my alibi.
I was screaming. I couldn't believe we were hearing Dawn. I'm not saying Dawn did it, but he has been the person I have the most questions for.
Exactly, because he was never questioned.
Right, right.
So I have questions too.
Can we unpack this a little bit?
Yeah, please!
Oh, does he have like a chronic illness?
I have no idea.
The private investigator is talking to Dawn on his porch. The camera is across the street.
Right, we're not seeing this conversation like close up. We're just hearing it, really.
Right. But we do see Dawn. We do get a visual on him from far away. And then the filmmakers just walk away. Tell me we're going to come back to Dawn. Tell me we're coming back to him.
And it's just the timing of it. It's like, I'm not saying that you can't suddenly become disabled and not be able to work. That's not what I'm talking about.
100%.
It's like he was 22. Heyman Lee went missing and is murdered. And then at 23, he suddenly can't work. And now it's all about like, I don't care about my alibi. I'm just trying to provide for my wife and kids.
And I'm dying in 10 years. Like,
what? How do you know you're dying at 50?
I know.
Is there a ticking clock? Like, I don't understand.
I have so many more questions about this. And the detective says,
I don't think he didn't go uninvestigated.
His alibi was his mother, and so there's a question of
would a mother lie for him? Sure. He could have caught equal attention that the defendant did, but he didn't have any phone calls come in about him.
And we heard about this phone call in Serial, some like Crime Stoppers phone call where an Asian man says, you need to look at the boyfriend.
Well, you know his name? Yeah, and that's when he provides the name. Once the information started flowing in, you got to go where it takes you.
Or you can look at her current boyfriend also. You can do both, no?
Right, of course. And then 5, 6, 7, 8, we're like hearing the tape of Adnan getting arrested.
The chief detectives came in. Richard McGillivray, they said, you know why you're here. You're being charged with Hayes' murder. At some point, they mentioned Jay's name. Like, yeah, Jay told us, or Jay's going to say that you did this or did that. And I was just thinking, Jay? Jay who? The only Jay I know is Jay Wiles. What does that have anything to do with anything? I was thinking, like, the charges would just be dropped. Like, this was some huge mistake. Like, how am I going to explain this on my college application?
It ends with us finding out that Adnan won the opportunity to present new evidence.
Yeah, in January 2016.
Right. If it goes his way, it could result in a new trial.
Right. And there's something like amazing about this and also heartbreaking because I'm like, it's 2019.
Right. I know. And then we see it's like this amazing footage. And I remember when these images came out because Adnan's being brought to the court and they put these like... because the van pulls up on like the curb and they've got to walk him across the sidewalk into the courthouse and they put up these like huge fences.
Yeah.
And you just catch the tiniest glimpse of Adnan as he like walks into the court.
In that blue jumpsuit. It's horrible. Yeah.
And he doesn't look anything like the Adnan we've been seeing pictures of.
Right. And here's the thing about this new motion. There are two arguments that need to be proven. One, that Asia McLean.
Asia McLean
wasn't called as a witness. $1 million, not a hair out of place. We get present day Asia. Just like in a library, just looking perfect. And then that the cell phone data was unreliable.
Right.
And that's where we end. And that's where we're going to pick up next time, you guys.
You guys, I just want to say, if you want to jump onto our Patreon, now's a good time to hear all of our Serial coverage, but also our interview with Rabia, our interview with Asia McLean, you guys. You want to hear Asia McLean's take on all of this? We talked to her about it.
Yeah, she's got a lot to say.
I know.
And she was just like, here are things that weren't true.
I know.
Or like, she sets us straight on a lot of things.
It's true. Also, for $10, you guys get ad-free versions of these episodes.
Plus everything in the $5 tier.
Exactly. Just a reminder, you guys, for the next 3 weeks, you're going to see us in your podcast feeds on Sunday. We're dropping the next three episodes immediately following the episodes that they are about the case against Adnan Syed. So get excited.
Yeah, happy Sunday for the next couple Sundays.
No, don't forget to come see us live, you guys.
Can't wait.
June 29th, our Pride show. I'm doing Pride tours the morning of the show, so get your tickets, and then we're going to reach out to everybody and find out who wants to go on these Pride tours.
Yeah.
Girl, where can they find us?
At True Crime Obsessed Podcast on the Instagram.
Follow for the Insta stories.
We just did an Insta story in the middle of this recording. We couldn't stand it anymore. At True Crime Obsess on Twitter, truecrimeobsessed.com for episodes, our calendar, the promo codes, our merch, the live shows, the whole thing.
Exactly. Where can they find you, girl?
At Jillian with a G on all the things.
I'm at Patrick Hines on the Twitter, at Patrick Hines _ on the Instagram. I'm going to throw in a palate cleanser. I'm not sure what it's going to be yet.
No presh.
Yeah, no presh.
You'll find it when you find it.
We love you guys.
I love you. Thanks.
Bye.
Not Casey and JoJo.
Not Casey and JoJo.
Don't do it, girl. Don't do it.
Not in my life. Can we talk about Rabia's house for a second?
What?
Rabia has this like gorgeous house. She walks around. She's like opening the windows. Light is just streaming in.
Look, she finds her light.
I know.
You know what? She doesn't find her light. The light finds her. The light's like, I would be lucky to shed myself onto Rabia.
She always has like a steaming cup of tea in her hand.
Yeah, at one point she has like I don't know if it's in a further episode, but she has like an almost finished cup of coffee or some kind of mocha. And I'm like, is someone going to get Queen Rabia?
I know.
A refill?
Fill her up.
She is spilling the tea, literally. Fill up that cup of coffee. Do you know who you have in front of you, Amy Berg? Amy Berg, I love you. I'm so sorry.
I remember the first time I saw a picture of Saad, I was like, oh. Rabia, close your ears for this part.
Saad, call us, girl.
I think he's really cute.
I had no experience in Baltimore, so.
She says it with no irony. She's just staring at the camera like, what? You think I can't imitate a machine gun? Can I tell you the thing that really stood out to me was the characteristic she liked about Don?
Uh-huh. What?
Blonde, blue eyes, built, sexy, had a nice Camaro.
Nice Camaro. Hey.
I feel like Hay and I would have the same taste in men.
Right,
yes,
totally.
Girl.
You guys, I block it out. I'm going to forget everything I said except for all the amazing things about Rabia.
Yeah.
Which I will text her immediately. I said when I texted her today, I was like, you're the best. I'm the creepiest. Bye. I said that to her. When she responded, she didn't acknowledge the creepy part, but she did answer.
That poor woman.
That poor woman. I should take my phone away.
So after a little conversation, he's got keys to the flat. After a little conversation, he just walks across her welcome mat. Now who'd have thought trust could be bought for a song and a little chat? See, he had friends and family nowhere near as cool as that. She gave him these, her keys. Now in Beverly Hills they gave him chills, and South Central put his soul in the deep freeze. She gave him her keys. You know those LA ladies in their Mercedes, they lock their doors if he just sneezed. Now he's like, bitch, please. She gave gave me her keys. He said the kind of place I wanna be is where no one's cold or scared of me. And then she handed him these.